Okay, this is the King's Mob DIY Media open source panel. It's not really a panel yet, and I'll explain why in a second. First of all, I'm Matt from King's Mob. Katie is in Vancouver. She really wants to come out, but she got stuck there, so she sends her apologies. The basic purpose of this panel is to discuss do-it-yourself open source media, how it's really important in breaking down the sort of intellectual hierarchy we have going on right now in the media, and the knowledge you need to create your own media. It has a lot to do with the panel that was on before this about information being free or not free. However, we are opposed to the privatization of that information and the sale of it. I'm also going to talk a little bit about globalization, or actually a lot about globalization. I think it's really important. There's been a lot of talk so far about the Digital Millennium Act and stuff like that, mostly how the American government is involved in it. I want to talk about how the transnational corporations and the international organizations are behind a lot of it. We're going to have some footage from the World Trade Organization protests in Seattle, talk a little about the WTO. We're going to have some stuff from the World Bank IMF protests in D.C. and talk about that as well. And I'm not going to talk too much about threat. We have some stuff here, but we are running so far behind schedule. I think that we might just not do it unless everyone really wants to see stuff from threat. But I don't know if it's necessary right now. The way I'm going to run this is basically I'm going to show some videos and rant for a little bit. I don't claim to know any more than anyone in this audience. Information is not yet free. And anything I know is based on my personal experience and the information I've been able to dig up. So if anyone has any information that contradicts anything that I say or even supports it in a way that I'm not aware of, please chime in. Also, the panel at the end is going to be Q&A, and I invite anyone in the audience who feels they have any experiences or emotional connection to anything to come up here and grab a seat. Otherwise, you can also just come up like we've been doing and do questions at the mic, and we'll do it in a do-it-yourself kind of way. So I'm going to start off with a video that was given to us by two different organizations. One is Paper Tiger, which is a local public access network, who worked with Indie Media Center. I don't know if you know about how they work, but they go to all the different protests and they run a 24-hour editing service. It's sort of a workshop where everyone who's running around the street with their DV cameras and whatnot can come at the end of the day and drop off the tapes, and they edit stuff together as it goes, sort of working against what we all saw on the Daily News or on even CNN, which was nothing to do with what was actually happening there. Paper Tiger is nonprofit. We also have something from Pickaxe Productions, which is basically just like a bunch of media savvy kids who shot footage, edited together, got it out, distributed on VHS, you know, just passing around, stuff like that. All the footage together is about 3 hours, so these are just clips, and it's probably a little bit sensationalistic. You know, it's a lot of cops beating kids up and stuff. But it's just supposed to show a little bit of what you didn't see in the mainstream press, and we'll talk about that. Okay, let's get started with that. Thank you.
What do we want?
Class war!
When do we want it?
No!
What do we want?
Class war!
When do we want it?
No!
Insane. I know they're just blue collar workers. They got to listen to us, man. This is a peaceful protest. We didn't incite any of those guys, and they're just fucking bombing our ass like crazy. This is messed up. This is about corporate greed. This is not about the us. So,
all right, thanks.
You have a nice day.
Plans. Well, now that everything's boarded up downtown and there's police surrounding most of the malls,
do we need to do some holiday shopping this year? No, okay.
Police and National Guardsmen have been working overtime this week to protect the city, and they're getting a lot of thanks for their efforts. In fact, some people are bringing hot coffee and treats to the troops as they stand in the streets.
It's been amazing. We've had cookies, bagels, coffee. They're just going to stores and buy stuff for us. It's been great.
All right, can we get lights now? Okay. And I'm getting the audio out here. Just want to scroll through threat and so you can see where IMS goes. Okay, so that was Seattle. Had a lot of you seen footage like that already?
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't seen basically any of that while it was going on. I had no idea anything was happening in Seattle. A couple weeks later, I got some of these tapes and just blew my mind that went on. In a couple weeks' worth of mainstream media, I saw nothing. Webster Dictionary defines capitalism as when private businesses own the means of production and distribution and are in constant competition. defines communism as the means of production and distribution being owned by the government, and socialism as those means being owned by the people. Basically, we think that we live in a capitalist society, but that's not really what we live in, because those means are really owned by a very, very select few transnational corporations who give us all our media and get us all the information that we pretty much have access to. Now, the internet has changed that. This is all clips from Threat, so you know. Threat was made by the King's Mob Multimedia Militia. It's a four-year... You can stop now. So a four-year process taking place primarily in New York, Berlin, London, parts of Italy, and all across the country, the U.S., that is. The way that we run our company is... We don't work with Hollywood or any major corporations. One point about independent film, which is why I don't really think it's valid against, say, something that we're introducing, not introducing, but sort of redefining, which is the do-it-yourself film. A lot of people talk about Blair Witch Project. I don't want to talk shit about those guys. It's cool and all. But as being an independent film, because Artisan, who distributed it, is not part of the studio. However, Artisan is almost entirely owned by Chase Manhattan Bank. That's a Dave Rockefeller and, you know, one of the probably biggest governing bodies, even if it's not governmental. So what we try and do is we try and deal with the fact that what we're moving towards, and we all heard it when George Bush was president, was the New World Order and the rule by the massive corporations. And we're trying to push independent away from just the idea of studios, start thinking about transnationals, which is where something like the WTO becomes involved. The WTO is not part of any government. It is larger than the governments. The people that you see that they were trying to stop from letting into the Sheraton building are not elected officials. They're appointed by the different governments to represent the governmental interests insofar as representing the dictates of the corporate interests. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the WTO. I'll give you an example of basically how they work. Let's say, for example, that the U.S. factory farms are, you know, playing Dr. Frankenstein with their hormones and whatnot, making bigger, juicier cows and chickens. And say the European Union does not want to import that disgusting beef or livestock. Well, the factory farm corporations in the U.S. really want the European Union to buy their factory farmed animals. So they bring it to the WTO. So now we have a dispute. This is a trade dispute. And the WTO will come in and issue a ruling completely secretly. We don't know anything about it. All this is extremely secret, which is part of the reason why when I started this, I introduced it as my information is limited. I'm sure many of you have come across other information, so I want to hear from you because it's very difficult to get any information at all. My understanding of it in this case is that the WTO found in favor of the factory farms. And the number that I heard, and you can quote me on the fact that I'm not sure this is the right number, but I heard that it's $200 billion the European Union was fined until they agreed to take the beef in. It might be less, I don't know. But that is basically very secretive information, no matter how much it was. The way that I found out about this stuff is that there's a book called Whose Trade Organization. Came out about a year ago. I think that we have a copy of it over there, or a copy of a pamphlet based on it, if anyone wants to see. About a month ago, I tried to get a copy of it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, at Barnes & Noble. You couldn't get it. Right before I did this, I checked again, and it is available. So I don't know what happened in the past month that changed that, because it came out over a year ago. And at the height of all this, it was almost impossible to get. Other WTO precedents. Well, basically, the one that I already cited about the factory farms, the agreement there is the Sanitary and Phytosanitary Agreement. It sounds kind of random. What it basically is that corporations no longer have to prove that their food is safe. The burden of proof falls on the nations to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that it is absolutely harmful. Obviously, it's in favor of the corporations. Another interesting one is the Technical Barriers to Trade Agreement. This means that nations may not refuse importing any product for any reason except for the commercial value. Basically, it is the commercial value meaning how expensive it is. So let's say there's a line of clothing that you don't want to import because it's more expensive than another line of clothing. Okay, you don't have to import that. But you can't not import it because it's produced by 7-year-olds in Rwanda being paid 2 cents an hour. That's not okay. We have to let all that stuff in. And the one that's very important at this convention is the TRIPS agreement, which Jella Biafra mentioned yesterday. It's the trade-related aspects of intellectual property. Right. That was done in conjunction with the WIPO. I presume that a lot of you are familiar with the WIPO. It's the World Intellectual Property Organization. They're the ones that brought us the international statute which the Digital Millennium Act is based on. I think it's important to point out the Digital Millennium Act is an American act, but it is only us taking part in the overarching world act that the WIPO instituted and stated that all governments must have an act like this if you're going to be part of the structure. WIPO is part of the UN, as are the IMF and the World Bank. Another thing that's interesting to look at is the police there. You saw a bunch of different ones. I like the way that the filmmakers juxtaposed the Seattle Police Force and the National Guard with the Brinks security. I don't know how many of you know what the Brinks are, but they're, you know, very privatized, top-level security. But basically what you have is a clandestine group of international elite who want to have a meeting and are being protected from the American people by our own armed forces, to the point where our police are tear gassing us, shooting us with rubber bullets, and throwing concussion grenades at us because we don't want this meeting in our city. And that's an interesting point. And another point that's important is that we end up fighting with the police on the street who are, like the guy pointed out, just, you know, working class men and women who there's no reason why we should be fighting with them. I think that the point that's being brought up here about hacktivism, I know someone said the first day, but unless you're willing to not be anonymous and go out and take personal responsibility for everything, then you're just a teenager having fun or whatever. But that's, in my opinion, that's bullshit. Because hacktivism can really go to the source. If you go and you hack down eBay, then you are affecting the economics there, which is the only thing they give a fuck about. They don't care if you go beat up a cop. It's not really changing anything, and I think that if anything at all, that's a very, very effective method of protest. And, of course, it's been pointed out as well that not necessarily the right thing to go after the small business owner, and just keep that in mind. So let's talk a little bit about the IMF. I'm going to show some footage from that. Now, when I was away, I was actually in D.C. I happen to think that C-SPAN is generally pretty good. And they were running 24-hour coverage of the event. A friend of mine taped it for me, about 5 or 10 VHS tapes. I have not watched them. But I have watched enough to see that this is pretty much what it's like. Yeah. Take a moment to load. Yeah, this guy is basically talking about... let's get it, because I don't want to paraphrase. Sorry.
Be part of that struggle. We will be organizing action in July.
Now, this is at the Ellipse, which was the only legal part of the protest. They just kept their cameras here all day.
In Okinawa,
looks like Lollapalooza to me.
We will be here protesting again.
A lot of people would come here and converge to talk about the other actions in the street, which in that way was very useful, and it was used very tactically. And then also you can have all these people so you can't find them, so that's good too.
And so I am going to conclude with the slogan.
That was C-SPAN, and you know I happen to like C-SPAN, but C-SPAN didn't do any of the stuff that I saw. So this stuff is predominantly from Paper Tiger and Indie Media. This is a little more informational than the WTO one, because I think that they do a good job of explaining what the WTO, the IMF, and the World Bank all do together. It's a lot like Cobra Commander and Destro, if you grew up like I did. All right, can we get that?
Agent Exit I is the last intersection before it comes. The cops are behind us. And that's it.
And there needs to be some set of decision making about the strategy.
The other groups that we're working with, i.e. the YTL and the Raging Grandmas, have already deployed. So everybody's there without our support. So I'm marching this way, and I strongly encourage other people to continue to support people.
But could everyone agree to all go? Because if we're just going to split it
What do you guys think about the consumer barricade across the street right here?
Which side?
That side.
What do you think?
Back in 82, I was asked to do consultancy as a member of the team. When I went over and saw, at that time in 82, how they could take hundreds of millions of dollars and basically throw it down a rat hole in terms of helping poor people, the only beneficiaries that I saw of that project were American and multinational firms.
It is a for-profit bank, and it's been very successful in making profits. It makes $1 billion plus a year in profits.
We have to look at what some of us are calling the unholy trinity of World Bank, IMF, as well as the World Trade Organization.
WTO, you know, opens the barriers for trade. The World Bank provides the finance for these development projects. And then as a result of the fact that everybody's competing against each other, the prices drop and the IMF steps in to provide short-term finance. And the only way they do that is by cutting the money that people spend, governments spend on health services, education, and nutrition, and that kind of thing.
And the IMF and World Bank is busy recommending the privatization of water, the privatization of electricity, and running local government basic services along profit lines, along commercial lines. And this has led to job losses and an increase in the price of these basic services.
The World Bank makes more money than it pays out. Therefore, for all the money it puts out, it gets more money back into its coffers. There's also a net outflow of resources such as timber, gold, oil, copper, but also agricultural products which come at the expense of depleting the soils and the environment of local countries.
Because of the World Bank policies, because of this IMF structural adjustment programs, as the currencies are devalued, there is no market for American products. It is going to hit America.
My name is David. I live on the street in D.C. I'm homeless in D.C.
What's it like to live in D.C., one of the cradle of democracy in the United States? It sucks.
It sucks because there is no resource. They tell us that there are resources, but there are no real resources.
It's hard to get a job in Washington.
Sure it is. Can't get nothing in Washington.
There's nothing there for homeless people. There's nothing there for poor people here. It's all a fallacy. It's all a fake out. You know, all these beautiful buildings are not for poor people. It's for the rich. And the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer.
Can they give me a place to sleep?
Yeah, on the street.
Yeah. And that's where we are. That's what it's like in D.C. Sleeping on the street, waking up hungry, no place to bathe. Yeah, that's it. We're talking about all the stuff that they're doing in other countries, but this country's messing up first. If we don't fix this country, then we don't get nothing fixed. You know, we can come down here and bond all day long, but if we don't talk about the atrocities of this country and what this country's doing, since this country's a trendsetter, then we got problems.
You know, we have to look bigger. We have to look more than just to the drug dealer on the community. You need to look higher than just the police officers on our street. What is motivating them? There's an agenda here, you know? And we as people of color, we need to recognize, we need to stop, we need to look past our own nose and recognize that we are not an island in these cities and these communities in the United States. These types of things are affecting people all across the world.
We're having a standoff with the police. We're trying to push the barricade back a little bit farther. As you know, the delegates are meeting in there, and we want them to stop meeting because we believe that they are instituting policies which are oppressing millions of people.
Who's in command here then, Commander?
I'm in command.
The reports that we've been getting, the updates, have been that it's really successful.
successful is that we've secured a perimeter completely around the IMF and World Bank building.
And there were all the different activists and affinity groups from all over the country and the world. I guess there's a lot of people here from other countries who come in and coordinate their efforts into one large action so that no one is working blind. Everyone, has to plan and can interact.
I'm talking about people power. I'm not talking about the environmental movement in the sense of environmental organizations or human rights movement in the sense of human rights organizations. We need, hundreds of thousands of people turning out for these demonstrations. We need the kind of show of force that it took to end the Vietnam War.
Historically, the labor union has always did direct acts. Before there was a National Labor Relations Act, that's all we had. So we had to do sit-downs, shutdowns, whatever. And I see actually some movement in the AFL-CIO towards being a little more militant, doing direct actions. Of course, on the waterfront, that's what we basically rely on.
This entire thing is a really good model for democracy because they put on so much education for us, and they put on so many trainings and workshops, and people that didn't know what they were doing came down and learned a lot. And we've learned how to be nonviolent, and we've learned legal training, and we've just learned how to put this on without getting anybody hurt. And that's really what's most important, and just get our message across. So it is the perfect model to educate people to make change.
We didn't apply for a march permit because you don't have to apply for a march permit if you're going to be walking on the sidewalk.
We asked them to please get up on the sidewalk, and they refused, tried to take the street, and we took action.
I turned around and saw the police fan out on the behind us and then trap and blockade us on both ends.
We knew right then and there that the negotiations were over, that they had planned this all along, and it probably came from the top, including the mayor.
Well, I think it was certainly legal, it's certainly proper, and it certainly was preventative and proactive.
But the strategy was to get less, to decrease us on the streets by far, and to get rid of some of the strong leadership that was at that protest.
We got corralled up like animals. They didn't tell us that they were going to arrest us. They gave us no option to do it.
You sat there, you stood there, we didn't move, we didn't make no trouble. But they still went on and arrested everybody. 600 people got arrested.
Jessica, why were you here? Jessica, why are you here?
I think whenever you're dealing in a situation like this, you're going to be up on the boundary line in terms of constitutional rights.
They didn't tell us nothing. They didn't charge us with anything. They just told us $50 to get out. That was it.
We just thought it was just extortion. Besides the sensory deprivation and the torture and the dehumanization process.
And everyone's sitting there with their wrists tied to their ankles. If you want to move around and just make a phone call, you have to like hop across the room on one leg. It was the most humiliating, dehumanizing experience I've ever had in my entire life.
We found out that they were telling people, giving them legal advice, in fact, and saying that if they did not post and forfeit, that they would be held there until Monday or Tuesday. They said that they had tents out back and that people were going to sleep in the rain and that sort of thing, and it just wasn't true.
There's no injury to anyone. Everyone's been treated in a very respectful manner.
They put you in these plastic handcuffs. I mean, the pain is just excruciating. It really is. In fact, the majority of people were put on school buses all night long, anywhere between 6 hours to 12 hours.
I've been handcuffed since 6 o'clock at night. So I got uncuffed at
7 o'clock. The 678 people who were arrested were political prisoners. Yes, absolutely. Because those arrests were based on our political beliefs.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day, man. Yeah.
in general, full stop. We believe that capitalism can't be reformed. We're out here today to show support for people that are locked down, to help them out, to support them in the streets. We're staying mobile so the police can't clamp down on them. And that's about it.
I think people see a bunch of, people dressed in black with their faces covered, and that's a scary image for them, But if you took, 2 minutes to talk to any one of those people, you would realize that they are intelligent, they care about what's going on, or they wouldn't put themselves on the line.
Oh, no, I'm okay.
Beautiful. Please try to be very divisive and say that there were certain fringe militant group that didn't represent everyone's interests. Right now, mobilization global justice, all the people that are down in Washington have some sense to make a lot of space for different tactics and different politics. I know we can all work together, and the coalitions that we form are going to change this world.
I think there's a lot of people that see the Black Bloc as their safety net in a lot of ways. I definitely saw it at the protest. I saw some negative reactions, but I also saw some people being like, oh, they're here. Now we know what to do. Now we know how to set up our barricade, because these are the kids that aren't afraid, to actually drag dumpsters into the street and make those a part of the human barricade that actually aims that. They're not afraid to, move cars out into the street. They're not afraid to stand there and push at the police line.
This country safer for its citizens.
This is an actual ad from Boeing. This is an Apache helicopter, one of those black helicopters. These are Hellfire Hellfire missiles on them. Anyway, this helicopter cost $18 million to build. And if you look at this caption. This is in an actual magazine that's distributed to governments and militaries. It says, it keeps the peace in a dominating, intimidating sort of way. This is the face of the new global economy. This is the power that enforces the inequality that globalization produces. This technology can only be made by a handful of countries, industrialized countries that spend billions and billions of dollars on military spending, in this case, the United States.
Paper Tiger also did a fantastic, keep this going, please. Yes, juxtaposition of the mainstream media with the independent stuff that we have here. So a couple minute clip of that.
Security around Mayor Williams has been increased because of the IMF meetings and the protests around them, but the mayor says we can leave the city well prepared. Moving on to the other area,
we got a taste of what we might already expect to see from demonstrators. They'll repent, they'll be simple, but highly based on a tip from their intelligence branch last night.
Channel 7, we're the ABC affiliate. I think that content is driven by sponsorship.
Would you explain that for the people who don't know how it works?
I think that you won't find very much labor news in the news. And that's because it doesn't serve the interest of the people who pay for the news show.
As the bankers meet, the dramatic drop in the U.S. stock market is the hot topic on the agenda.
For the most part, what they've been doing is, you know, just for training, this is just a bunch of kids that just, you know, are looking for fun on the weekend, not really thinking about the political circumstances about what are going on or anything like that. I mean, for the most part, all that they've been doing is just portraying the protesters and the protests, that they haven't had anything about structural adjustment policies, anything about non-governmental organizations, you know, that are corporate-based, that are doing all this stuff that we're fighting against.
This is News 2 Weekend.
Top story tonight, an army of police officers tries to control angry protesters at the World Bank meeting in Washington.
The only thing I see in the media is, I mean, rioting kids, you know, ignorant rioting kids. And from a racial standpoint, that's the same thing you see with black kids, ignorant rioting black kids.
One brazen protester tries to stop them. Driving this passion, some say craziness.
When asked about it, Police Chief Charles H. Ramsey said, witnesses may have been fooled by demonstrators dressed as police and wielding batons.
I love that.
What?
God.
Are you just hanging out or are you trying to make a statement?
Some people would say that you're antagonizing the police.
I'm antagonizing
them. By sitting right in front of them like that.
Protesters tried to break down barricades and threw things at officers.
One arrest today at the World Bank. Police say a demonstrator began repeatedly hitting a police car. He was arrested, they say, and charged with aggravated beating of a car.
A nightmare. I mean, the Beltway was backed up in every which direction for hours.
Yes.
It was terrible.
I wish people would try and stay more objective, but, you know, it's not going to happen. It's the media, for Christ's sake.
Gain control of the crowd. News 2 reporter Lisa Hughes has the latest on this chaotic and violent day in the Capitol.
Broken glass is always more exciting video than people sitting talking about beyond Seattle. And that's the true nature of the media business.
Okay. Now, as this demonstrates, D.C. actually did get a lot more media than Seattle did, even if it's kind of skewed. And I'm not saying that this is non-biased, what I'm showing here. However, it does show the other end to it. So if everyone's doing media, then at least we get the full story if we look for it, rather than just the story that those who are disseminating it in limited amounts give us. By the way, this is the pamphlet that's based on the Who's Trade Organization book. If anyone wants to look at it, it'll be up here later. One of the things that's very different about the D.C. thing from the Seattle thing is that it actually is very easily turned into a humanitarian issue for the media. It's a good news story. There's a lot of American kids who care about third world debt and blah, 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 and want to help out, you know, poor starving kids in, I don't know, wherever, China. That's where we're told they are, right? And then you can, you know, show some stuff with the Black Bloc direct action so you discredit it just enough and call them violent, even though the only violence I see for the most part is the police. Whereas on the other hand, the WTO is all about the corporate agenda, and there's really no way to screen footage and talk about what happened in Seattle without dealing with the larger issue at hand. This really has nothing to do with government. And one of the things that illustrates this best of all would be the MPAA, which, if we think about these major corporations, they list a few of them here, we think of them as at least being in competition with one another. The MPAA is like a union for your massive mega corporate studios. I don't know if they really need a union. All this is really, really important right now because we are at a pivotal point when everything's changing. This stuff has been building for a long time. What's going on now is the inevitable shift towards whether or not it will become 100% instead of 90%. The thing that we push, as I was saying a little bit earlier, is the DIY media and the open source. Open source, I'm sure many of you know much more about the history of open source than I do, but the way that we translate it to media is that for the most part, people don't know, oh, I want to make a movie. Okay, you know, what the hell do you do now? You write a script and then you send it to an agent or a studio or something. And how do you distribute it? Nobody knows. So there's a lot of information that is hoarded and kept within the halls of power. We definitely found that when we started making Threat. That's why it took us 4 years instead of, you know, a year or 6 months. So what we do is we go around the world and we do workshops and we teach people how to use media. We like to, we're working towards the ability to go to different festivals with cameras, let kids shoot stuff, and then let them use equipment to edit together, upload it onto the web, get your media out there. And I think it's, you know, it's fairly important. And what we try and do is we do all our own production and we've just grown to do our own distribution. So it is sort of seizing the means of production distribution, which is what all these economies and economic theories are based on, as I was saying earlier. The thing that's going on right now is that everyone, these major corporations, is changing all their media into zeros and ones because they don't like manufacturing their film prints or their vinyl records. They want it all to be information so it can be sent over your phone line or through your cable line or whatever. And information needs its encryption so that everyone can't break it, but they know that that doesn't really work so well. So they buy the pipes. We have AOL buying Time Warner for the cable lines. We have AOL and News Corporation fighting each other for the satellites. In fact, Rupert Murdoch was trying to buy GM Motors, not for GM Motors, but because of the link to Hughes satellites. Very interesting. And the phone companies, I'm sure you guys can tell me a lot more about that than I already know. And this is all about who owns our pipes of distribution. Not even our production anymore, because you can make whatever you want, and it took a long time for this to get to a lot of people. The idea that these corporations are American corporations is also not entirely accurate. They may have been founded by Americans. They may have been based in America for a long time, but the American government has little control over them. They have very little civic virtue. If you want to call it that, they don't really have a nationality or a national morality. So the Americanization of the world is sort of placing the blame in the wrong place, and it just makes everything more divided. One of the concerns is as all these corporations start owning everything, let's say a lot of the people in this room probably aren't on AOL, but what is it, 60%? I don't know what the number is, but AOL has a lot of people. So what happens when you have your website up and AOL's browser doesn't go there anymore? You know, and it's not that strange a thing to think about. You know, as soon as Steve Case says that there's kiddie porn on it, no one's going to care. And if you don't believe that, then why were there 30,000 riders going, 30,000 teenagers and adults and old people, it was everybody in Seattle, that didn't get on the TV because they were rioting teenagers and they were just trying to stop the good businessmen of the world and businesswomen of the world from doing what they have to do for the better of all of us. But mostly I would like to hear what everyone in the audience has to say. If anyone has anything to say, there's a huge amount of stuff that we can talk about so I'd like the direction of it dictated a little bit. So let's open up a panel. As I was saying earlier, we're going to do it in the DIY ethic that we do everything. If anyone wants to take part directly in the discussion, because sometimes I feel like I ask a question at a panel, and you know, there's sort of an answer, but then they move on, but that it wasn't really answered, or that the discussion is missing an element to it. You know, the guy who was on here earlier had a very different angle than I do, so if he's in the room and wants to come up, that would be cool. You can also just ask questions, and we can move in that direction if anyone has any, or I can keep talking. Okay, what's up? You want to come up here? Is this mic on?
Just wondering if it was possible to get our hands on any of that footage somehow.
Absolutely. First of all, papertiger.org has all this stuff, and regenerationtv.com and indiemedia.org have it. I don't know, there was flyers out before that had those resources on them. If not, you can ask me afterwards, I'll write it down for you. Indie with a Y, media.org. Also, I don't know what the intellectual property statute is, but I don't know, maybe I'll make a copy. What's next? Yes? What are the plans? Okay. The Republican National Convention is, what is it, in a week and a half, the end of July. There are millions of different plans. Basically, the one thing that has gotten the movements this far is that it is only solidarity, not really one concerted effort. So every little group is able to do what they're going to do on their own and have mutual respect for one another without really getting each other's way or making it so that they can be tracked as one organism. So I couldn't really say what all the plans are. There's a massive convergence going on. When we went down to D.C., we were just our own little affinity group. We went there. We had some friends who were part of the larger affinity groups there. Their education, we were taught. You have to wear those handkerchiefs with vinegar on them because of the tear gas. It's not so you look cool. And we were taught what's legal, what's not legal. If you're on the street here, that's legal on the sidewalk, but if you go over there, that's not legal. So you can make your decision, but it didn't really matter because the police, as they said there, I don't know if everyone got it, what happened is they would blockade the street as soon as you were in the street. They would get on the other end, and then they would move up the sidewalks and push out the sidewalks so that you were technically in the street and they could arrest you. You don't need the credibility of those people. I'm saying that happened, so you can ask me afterwards if you don't believe me. Also, the other thing that was going on there was that it was a holiday on Monday. So you can get arrested for whatever reason the police choose to arrest you for. That's not really illegal, because then you just go to court, and then they throw it out, and you get out of holding. But if you're arrested on Saturday and the courts are closed on Monday, you're in there until Tuesday, no matter what you were arrested for. And that's why there was a massive arrest on Saturday, and they couldn't really do anything about it. Except the police were accepting $50 to let you out. There's some statute about that, so they made a lot of money. But I don't know if anyone has any questions on how to get information. I know that there is a website. Does anyone know the website? Yes.
There's indiemedia.org has a lot of information, audio, video, print, and photographs, and they'll be updating all the time as the events go on. In Philadelphia, it's July 29th to August 4th, and there'll be, supposedly now, they've clamped down to only allow protests on the weekend, and after that, the city will be shut down for any protesting except outside the barriers that they've decided upon, but that won't stand. There are people building shacks for the homeless that are coming from the Kensington Welfare Rights Union is coming from all over the country, and they're building houses and stuff for them. And there will be the Million Billionaires March and a couple other events planned, as a lot of the activists these days have a little more humor than in the past. Los Angeles, the convention center, has been, they're building a 17-foot fence around the perimeter, a certain 10-block area, I believe, 17 feet, that won't allow anybody near it in order to keep the event running properly.
And this is, again, another slap in the face to our First Amendment rights, which are totally destroyed this past. As you can see, the more the people stand up, the more oppression that there's going to be. And so if you just check any media, there's a Direct Action Network. If you look on a website for that, a search engine, they are having a lot of events. But as this man said, there are millions of coalitions, building groups, and that's another confusing thing to the police and the government is that they're not used to consensus. They're not used to hundreds of people making decisions in little groups and making what works. You know, they like top-down management. So that's what I know.
Excellent, thank you. Would you like to come up here? I'll sit down if you're going to sit down so you can feel. Okay. All right, if anyone wants to come up. What's up?
Are you guys related with Free Speech TV at all?
Is that an organization?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to tell us about them?
Well, yeah, it's a channel, but I mean, this, I don't remember because I knew about this like 2 years ago. But they started up a couple years ago, and then they wanted to be basically like pirate radio. They were a pirate cable station.
As far as I know, they were a pirate television station, started out of Denver, and then moving to Boulder, I think. I don't know what they're doing right now, but basically anyone could send anything in, and it would be publicized.
Do you know the website for it?
Yeah, it's fstv.org.
Okay, now you know. Thanks. What's up?
For the Free Speech TV, it's actually now a television channel. I think right now you can only get it if you have a satellite dish, though.
But
I guess. Yeah. I haven't actually seen the channel yet, but I know that I have a satellite and it has it.
FSTV.org.
FSTV.org, Free Speech TV. It is a cable channel, and it's also on the Internet.
Man, I got to go all the way down.
What are some good sources of unbiased media?
I'll repeat myself. What are some good sources of unbiased media?
I don't know a single unbiased media source. stuff, so I know what they're saying. Does anyone have any suggestions? Okay, here we go.
There's also a website called radioforall.org. It's radio4all.org that has listings of a lot of pirate stations and a lot of independent. It's mostly audio. This is an audio radio for all. And there's one, the A-Infos Project, that you can download MP3 shows and stories that you can broadcast in on your own station or just download and listen to them. And these are other people's opinions. They have Noam Chomsky and other lesser-known things. There's radio shows that are archived, programs that you just would never get to, you know, hear about if you had to listen to your own radio station in your own town, including here in New York where we have, you know, a Pacifica station, which is supposedly free speech radio, but slowly being taken over by the government sort of interests and the CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Anytime you let them in, you lose your freedom, actually. So there's the A-Infos Project on radioforall.org. The Indie Media Center has a lot of stuff, and if you go there, you'll find links to a lot of other places that you can find information as well.
Also, I will quote Jello Biafra once again, since he's the big keynote to become the media. And you can send us links, and we'll put them up. If you have a website, I suggest you put links up, because I hate websites that don't have them. Any other questions? Okay, cool. Oh, here we go.
This isn't a question, but the guy was asking about the protests at the Republican convention, and the guy that was here on Friday, Shapeshifters, said to go to thepartiesover.org. So I haven't been there, so you know, you can go there.
Mm-hmm.
Paper Tiger and the school organizations like that will be involved. Because I know the schedule for the workshops is a bunch of shit, like, talking to the media.
So that if you are on the front lines, you know, if they go to interview you, you don't sound like an asshole. And I was wondering if your group or are you from Paper Tiger?
No.
That was just a name that stuck in my head.
No.
If groups like that are going to come to the convergence to help people deal with the media and accurately represent what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. In the past, there's been convergence centers where you can go and be educated, basically. Yeah, I know it's mostly the weekend before. There's going to be a massive public rally on the Sunday right before everything starts. Do you know more about this than I do? Thepartysover.org, is it all of those words?
Yeah, party's like J-R-G-Y-S.
Right, no apostrophe. Okay. And, yeah, there's going to be massive stuff going on. But you work primarily within your affinity group, correct? And then you can go and you can get education. I think they say for the most part they have media representatives there. So if you are interviewed, because of the way the quotes are manipulated, it's best to just send them over to a media representative. That's what I was told.
The Indy Media Center, which they're already setting up, is around 13th and Locust Street. And they'll be, you know, you can, they have people organized, but anybody that's interested in bringing their cameras and all that kind of stuff, you know, go to the Indy Media Center. I'm sure there's somewhere to mail them, but, you know, they welcome all the media that they can get, audio, video, photographs, and everything, and because they use everything. A lot of the footage that you've seen in these videos were all taken from independent, do-it-yourself people that were either, you know, registered and then were sent out to photograph something or videotape something or else that they brought it in on their own.
Awesome. I'm curious, I don't know if this is a rude question to ask, but how many are you planning on voting? Damn, that's not that much. Think it matters? How many are below 18? Yeah, it's not, well, yeah, okay, so it cuts about in half the ones that aren't. How come people under 18 can't vote? I'm offended by that. What's the question? Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it was when the party's over, one of the stuff I've been reading for the convention, that in Seattle and in Washington, cops were specifically targeting people with cameras and with you know, video cameras and with cameras and being arrested earlier than people without them. I mean, I don't know if you were, I mean, did you guys have any experience with that people who were specifically filming the police were being targeted?
And also it goes the other way too. People were spray painting the media cameras when they were trying to get footage of them.
Well, and they raided the Convergence Center and took a lot of stuff and a lot of people didn't get their cameras back. Oh, yeah, they arrested the puppets, right.
They thought that the tools that people were using to make puppets, I guess, were terrorist tools. So they... And the food, yeah, everyone was... They had little kitchens where... I mean, it was where thousands of people were staying and doing their work, so all the food was taken away to help the local businesses, I guess. McDonald's needed the protesters. What's up? Oh, also be careful. We weren't allowed to park anywhere. We had a lot of people in a little car. And we were clearly, you know, dirty protesters, and we had New York plates. So be aware, they will stop all the parking in the area. The local parking lots won't be accepting you. And they shut down the Kinko's. Cool. Okay, take the train to 30th Street and walk. Where do you get the train from? Just in the suburbs somewhere. Cool. If anyone is going to be involved in this, what's next? Jan Johansson? I don't want to fuck him over. I don't know. If you want to take part in the Republican National Convention and talk about it, we can go in the networking room and meet up and then say hello. And then you can come back in here if you're going to see this panel. So then we can meet up later. Anyone else? One more.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's like other movements, like in other countries, of this such protest of against WTO and such.
Yeah, America is basically the last of the major nations to become part of this movement. It's been protested in basically any country it goes to.
In September, there's a WTO meeting also in Prague, which is being organized, and mostly you'll probably see a lot more people from the European nations and Africa and places that are going to demonstrate there. It's going to be big.
Go to Prague if you can afford it. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much, everybody. Become the media.